gentlemen, from the great state of Brooklyn, Neil Diamond.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
This is where Wisconsin gathers to talk sports. Packers, Brewers, Badgers, Bucks. The Wisco Sports Show is on the air. Here's your host, Grant Bills.
You know, I wish certain stories and certain things would stop taking the shine away from Neil Diamond this week. You know, Monday we had an eclipse. And they always say, well, this will be the last time this happens for like 100 years. And I guess in a literal sense, that's probably true. But it does seem like we have some level and some degree of an eclipse a lot more regularly than every 100 years. I'm not going to say this like every year, but seems like they exaggerate a little bit. They, who's they? Big astronomy, the government. So Monday, Neil Diamond week, to share some shine with the eclipse, and that's fine. And then today, O.J. Simpson goes ahead and dies. It's like, now what are we going to do, make O.J. jokes? Not jokes, but I mean, that's a huge cultural thing that took place today. And again, it's like we might have some, I can only imagine what Eric on I-90 is planning to say if he calls in to talk about O.J. tonight. And that'll be funny, but I just wish, you know, this is about Neil this week. I wish we could keep it about Neil. Thanks, O.J., again, for making it all about you. I'm sympathetic, by the way, to those that were impacted by O.J. Simpson. I wasn't around for the trial. I was born in 98. I am sympathetic. I don't mean to make jokes about something that was very, very serious. But then again, like, I don't know. I wasn't around. Maybe it's a Mark Wahlberg situation. If I would have been there, it would have been different. If I would have been alive, they would have got the verdict right with O.J. You know what we should have done tonight is get Cato Kaelin on the show. I bet he'd come on. I mean, I bet I could get a DM through. I bet he'd come on Wisconsin Radio and bitch about the Brewers or something. But it's Neil week, and it's going to remain about Neil. We're going to stay feeling Neil until today at 6 o'clock, because I'm off tomorrow. I'm going up north for a couple of days. So this will be the conclusion of Neil Diamond Week 2024. We're going to finish strong. Two guests tonight. Mike Clemens will join us at 5:30. Mike, so here's the thing. Between you and me, Mike is always working. And he's always sending audio to me and to Ebo and to Bill. Hey, here's Doc Rivers last night. Use this if you need it. Here's commentary from Pat Murphy after the game. Use this. He's always sending audio for us to use on air. And I don't use all of it, but it's always really useful, right? Because if we're talking about Christian Yelich, oh, here's Pat Murphy from last night talking about Christian Yelich too. And I'll play that. And that's courtesy of Mike Clemens. I woke up this morning. I slept so poorly. The weirdest bad night of sleep I've ever had, because I have no memory of tossing and turning. I woke up thinking my alarm was going off in like 5 minutes, and I rolled over to look at my clock, and it was like 12:15. So for whatever reason, from the time I went to bed, which is a little after 11, to 1:15 felt like an entire night. I still slept like dump. Anyways, woke up, and I have 8 or 9 emails, which I know when I say that out loud doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a lot of emails. I know it's not like 30 emails, but like 8 or 9, That's a healthy amount of emails, all from Mike, and he is traveling around with the Packers tailgate tour, and he has a conversation with Brian Bulaga, a conversation with Rashid Walker, a conversation with Mark Murphy, and we were playing some of this on Bill's show earlier today. I'm like, this is unbelievable, Mike. Like, this is a really good sit-down interview with Mark Murphy. Just a one-on-one that he got because he's been traveling around on the tailgate tour. So maybe we'll hear some of that audio. At the very least, we will hear from Mike at 5:30. And I want to talk about the Brazil announcement, some of the things that have been going on in the offseason. And of course, I want to talk to Mike about Neil Diamond because he probably met him or dated Neil's sister or something at some point. We'll have those conversations with Mike at 5:30. At 4:30, Andrew Wagner is going to be here. He is so back covering the Brewers, and he is excited to come on. Although I doubt he's a big Neil Diamond guy, but tonight we're all Neil Diamond guys. It's Neil Diamond week. 608-321-1670 if you'd like to call or text the show. Genuinely would love to have you. I'm on Twitter at Wisco Grant. If you want to send me a DM or a tweet, you can message the Facebook page too. If you want to be a part of the show, and if you just want to sit back and listen, that's fine too. I want you to know that you have the option. I want to start by talking about last night's Brewer game, because the Brewer game that was supposed to be played today was canceled. So let's talk about last night. I was sitting at my desk in the corner of my apartment, and I have a little stand for my phone to to watch games because my desk faces away from my TV. So if I'm sitting on my laptop or sitting on my quote unquote sitting on my laptop, if I'm playing video games on my laptop, then I just set my phone in the little stand right next to the laptop screen. And it's like I'm two screening, except both of the screens are very, very small. And the desk is actually very small. So the edge of my laptop actually sticks off the edge. It's a little ratchet, but it gets the job done. And I was playing League of Legends on my laptop with the Brewer game on next to me. And every time I looked over, there's another hit. There's another hit. There's another hit. There's a home run. Hey, there's another home run. More runs. More runs. Keep scoring runs. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, this is fun. This is fun. I almost tweeted last night. I'm like, it's really underrated how fun scoring runs is. This is incredible. Are you telling me that this is just the reality for some teams every year that have good offenses? Because for the last 2 years, we've been playing slap ass, trying to win games, scoring two or three runs, white knuckling one run games through three or four relievers, just hoping they don't give up the one big hit that would completely and totally cook the game. Last couple of years, we've been living in squalor. We've been living in absolute poverty as Brewers fans. And I get it. I do. Right. All their talent was on the pitching staff. So they played a game that reflected that. Right. All of their talent was starting pitching or in the bullpen. So they played games and won games via their starting pitching and their bullpen. It's not like Craig Counsell wanted to play boring. I'm not here to defend Craig Counsell. I'm here to defend history. And I don't like revisionist history. I don't like when we go back and we reframe things and we revise history to fit a current take or a current opinion. Like Pat Murphy and the Brewers are winning games right now, at least early in the season. Obviously, small sample. They're 8-3. And now what Brewers fans are doing is like, well, Craig Counsell was holding us back. Well, no, Craig Counsell was managing a different team last year. The offense wasn't any good. It was pitching. So, of course, they were going to play in low-scoring games. Right, he was going to manage that team differently. This year, the roster is very different. And of course, they have a new manager this year, too. But it's not like if Craig Counsell was managing this team that they would be, you know, scratching out 1, 2, 3 runs a game, trying to white knuckle their way through 9 innings. No, Craig Counsell and Pat Murphy are both reasonable, smart men who are managing to play to their team's strengths. It's not that Craig Counsell wanted to play a bunch of low-scoring games. It's the team he had. And it's not that Pat Murphy wants to pull his starter after 3 2/3. That's the type of starting rotation he has, at least through 11 games and, you know, about 2 weeks or so of the regular season so far. I don't think Craig Counsell would manage this team that much differently. I don't think Pat Murphy would have managed the last couple of years very differently. I think for the most part, the results would probably be pretty much the same. Now, I think the floor of this year's team is so much lower than the floor of last year's team. Last year's team had Brandon Woodruff, not the whole year, but the beginning and at the end, Corbin Burnes, Freddie Peralta, Wade Miley, who was excellent, and Colin Ray, who, at least with the Brewers, about as good of a fifth starter as you could ask for. Now, the Dodgers would be like, not good enough. Okay, well, sick. But for the Brewers, like Colin Ray last year, you knew what you were getting every 5 or 6 days. It's like, yeah, we're going to get 5 healthy innings from Colin Ray, maybe a couple runs, but we'll have a chance to win every time. The Brewers had an awesome starting rotation last year, and that meant the floor of the team is really high. Like, yeah, they might not be incredible, but it's really hard to be a bad team when all of your starters are that good. So the floor of last year's team, I believe, was much higher than the floor of this year's team. Like, if Freddie Peralta all of a sudden has to, and I don't even want to put this out there, so I'll knock on wood as I say it. If Freddie Peralta all of a sudden has to miss 2 months, they're in a really, really, really difficult spot, right? No matter how many runs they score. Because this already teetering balance between starting pitching depth and bullpen usage, it's already teetering. You know, Freddie Peralta all of a sudden needs to be shut down for a month. They're in a tough spot. So the floor of this team, I think, could drop out. If things in the universe lined up and all of these bad, you know, bits of bad luck and, you know, this team could be much, much worse than last year's team. I also think that the ceiling of this year's team is much higher than the ceiling of last year's team. I think last year's team, very high floor, relatively low ceiling, because they were the worst offense in the postseason. No pop, no production, no power. And it's really hard to get hot and win a lot of games when you can't explode offensively. And while I think this Brewers team in 2024, they have a lower floor because the pitching isn't as stable and it isn't as reliable as last year, I also think if things were to go right, their ceiling is higher than last year's team. Maybe not in terms of regular season wins. Like, I don't think this is the type of team that could win 100 games compared to last year's team, which won 91. But if things go correctly and the pitchers stay healthy and everything kind of lines up and the Brewers get some breaks, this team gets into the postseason. Well, now all of a sudden you have Christian Yelich. Look how he's playing. William Contreras, Rhys Hoskins, Willy Adames, who I refuse to believe he will be that bad a second year in a row after last year. Look at what Jackson Chourio's doing. Look at the improvements so far, at least, that Bryce Turang has made. This offense has pop, has power. There's juice. This is an offense and a team that could get hot for a couple of weeks. Whereas last year's team, it's like, well, yeah, they're of course going to win a certain number of games because their pitching is excellent, but the upside isn't there. This year's team has upside. They also have more downside. This is a much more volatile team. The results and the outcomes, the range of outcomes, much more volatile than last year. This team could win 79 games. I think they could win 92. They could make the playoffs and get bounced in the first round, or they could make a run and go all the way. I truly believe that. Just because this offense can produce and they can get hot. They could also completely miss the playoffs because their pitching isn't good enough. You see what I'm saying? Last year's team was safe, pretty predictable, pretty expected. Not a lot of surprises there. You kind of knew what you were getting. This year, I'm not really sure what I'm getting. Could be really bad. But I tell you what, if the Brewers get lucky and things break their way and the sports gods, for the first time in literally the history of the human race, if the sports gods were to smile on the city of Milwaukee and at least the baseball team of Milwaukee, this team has a higher ceiling than last year. They have a lot more room to explode and get hot and potentially go on a run. Let's take our break early. We'll take a couple phone calls. That way we get to Andrew Wagner on time and the whole show stays right side up and we can continue to celebrate Neil Diamond without completely running out of time at the end of this hour and then at the end of the show. 3 minutes and we're back on the Wisco Sports Show. We'll talk more Brewers. I'll take some calls. 608-321-1670. Wisco Sports Show back in 3 minutes.
This is the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Girl, you'll be a woman soon. Love you so much, can't count all the ways I'd die for you, girl, and all they can say is, he's not your kind.
Wisco Sports Show, day number four of Neil Diamond Week. It's our final day, which is sad. I think I tweeted that it's day three. Damn it, I made a mistake in the tweet at the beginning of the show. Well, the rest of the information in the tweet is factual. Andrew Wagner going to join us to talk Brewers in about 15 minutes. Mike Clemens going to join us in the last hour of the show. We're going to give Mike his flowers. He's on a little bit of a tear the last week. He had a great one-on-one with Mark Murphy that we played during the last hour of the Bill Michaels show earlier today. I would like to fit that into tonight's show, but if we're taking lots of calls talking Brewers and we already got two guests, including Mike, maybe we'll run out of time. If it doesn't end up making it into the show tonight, you got to go listen to the final hour of the Bill Michaels show, because I'm sitting here listening. I'm like, Mike, this is an awesome conversation with the Packers CEO, right? About Brazil and about all the, you know, all the different things that the Packers and Packers fans can look forward to this upcoming season. Really good conversation. So if we don't fit it in tonight, the final hour, so hour number four of the Bill Michaels show earlier today, go listen to that. It's really, really good. 608-321-1670. Started the show by talking about how this Brewers team is a lot more volatile than last year's team. I think they could be a lot worse. I also think they could get into the playoffs and be a lot bigger threat than last year's team was, just because the offense, and I say this with all due, this year's offense isn't a joke. Last year's was. 608-321-1670. Wisco Sports Show. Who's this? Hello, hello. Line one, anybody? All right. Close. Try again later. Line two, Wisco Sports Show. Who's this?
I think you're just putting these people to sleep with this Neil Diamond music.
Stop that. That's a good song. That's some, maybe. That last one, that's a banger, though. Don't give me that cone roller. I won't hear that.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe read into the lyrics and find out what it's really about, Grant.
It is a little groomy, isn't it? You're a little
it,
bit.
It is.
That's actually kind of the whole point. That's actually kind of the whole point of the song. It's kind of the crux of it when you listen closely. Oh, God.
And speaking of grooming, I think Jackson Churio is grooming out to be a superstar. All he does is put, you know, bat on ball, you know, gives what the pitcher or takes what the pitcher gives him. And, you know, he's just a hit machine.
Well, and now he's starting to take some walks here and there, too, with his speed on the base paths, especially when he's hitting leadoff. That's a big part of his game, too. If he can have the plate discipline to take some free bags every once in a while, that's a big deal. He was a little more aggressive the first couple of games. I also see him learning and progressing very quickly. And it's fun to watch a really good, really talented player kind of figure it out on the fly. And that's what we're getting to do with him.
I think this is our generation's Ryan Braun. Because, you know, maybe we were a little young to see Ryan Braun, you know, make his MLB debut and come out in San Diego. So I think this could be our Ryan Braun, and maybe his number gets retired in the Raptors one day.
Well,
like Ryan Braun should.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ryan, hopefully Jackson Churio's number will one day join number 8 up there. Well, Ryan Braun's a good comp because Ryan Braun just at every level was just good. Like, he was just good. He showed up in double A, triple A, the major leagues. He just was good. He just had it figured out. There was never some crazy adjustment where he looked lost, right? And I don't mean to, like, throw a stray to Joey Weimer. Joey Weimer's a good baseball player, but there's been adjustment periods. He also probably came up a little bit before he was ready, but, you know, still. Now he's back down. He's tweaking his swing. Ryan Braun just showed up day one. Yeah, I'm great. I'm Ryan Braun. I've been good at every level. I've been one of the best players at every level of my career.
And him just being from the U, it makes it even that much sicker.
Yeah. Jackson Churio just straight out of Venezuela, baby. But I do agree with you. Ryan Braun, the Hebrew Hammer, I always thought was a nickname that should have got more run. It's a bummer we didn't get more out of that.
100% agreed. And same with Kevin Durant, the Durantula.
Yeah.
You never really heard that either. A lot of good nicknames that just never stick for whatever reason.
Slim Reaper was pretty good, although I don't hear Kevin Durant ever get called by nicknames anymore, but I liked both of those. I'm with you.
Well, there was that one clip where a reporter asked him where he got the nickname KD from. I don't know if you've seen that, but that's pretty funny.
No, I'm going to have to look that up. I got to get to some other callers. Cohen, appreciate you. I will be off tomorrow, so we collectively will be missing a Friday show. Have an excellent weekend, and fins up, because I won't talk to you.
Thanks, Grant. Fins up. I guess never miss a Friday show.
Yeah, unless the show, of course, is not taking place. Thank you, Cohen, always keeping me accountable. Yeah, I need to go find that interview clip. Why do they call you KD? The best interview clip, the best soundbite going right now is what John Calipari said yesterday. And I don't know if you saw that when he said, I spoke with the team. There is no team. It's like we got 20 minutes on the Bill Michaels show earlier today. I'm just laughing about that. What an all-time press conference from Coach Cal. Hell yeah. 608-321-1670. Wisco Sports Show. Who's this?
Big Ron in Jersey.
Big Ron. I don't think I talked to you last week. Normally we talk on Fridays. I think it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, it has been. I missed you. And, you know, I'm normally a Friday caller, but
okay.
I know there's no show tomorrow, so I had to squeeze one in today.
I appreciate that. It's a treat to talk to you. What's new? What's going on?
Well, I love the Brewer talk. You know, I think the Brewers are number one in all of baseball in hitting and batting average with runners in scoring position. And I feel that is the most important stat in offensively, you know, that you can have, because it's a clutch stat. You know, it means that you're performing when you got the ducks on the pond that are in scoring position, you know. And I think the Brewers over the last, you know, 5-10 years have always been towards the bottom of the league in that stat, and they just haven't been able to get the clutch hits. You know, how many times have you heard like Rock complaining about you know, they're batting average just runners in scoring position. So I think that's key. And then, you know, I'm excited. You know, obviously the weakness of the team is the starting pitcher, but if pitching, but if Ross, you know, performs like he did in his last start, you combine him with Freddie and Miley and Colin Ray, you know.
Got a stew going.
Then we just need, that's a nice solid rotation if Ross can, you know, can kind of step up to the plate this year and outperform some of his, you know, the back of his baseball card. And then you just need one other guy, you know, D.L. Hall or Ashby or whoever to kind of step up and fill out that rotation, and it'll be pretty good, man.
Who can give me 5 on any given day? You know what I mean? I know that I can get that from Freddie almost all the time. If Joe Ross can be a guy that you can come to expect 5 innings at least from, that would be huge. Wade Miley, I think, is going to get back to that point if he can stay healthy and continue to progress. I think Colin Ray has reached that point. So now that really only leaves us, if Joe Ross continues to progress and historically, like you said, play to the back of his baseball card, that only leaves us with DL Hall and potentially Jacob Junis. And if there's only 2 guys in the rotation that you have to fiddle with a little bit, Like, that's fine. That's okay. That's okay. We can work with that.
Yeah, and I mean, you can go with the hot hand there because you got more than one guy in that five spot. You know, you can kind of, you can do matchups. You can see, you know, what the opposing team has hit historically against them, or just go with the hot hand, whoever pitched well in their last start, and kind of rotate those guys in and kind of do a timeshare for that five spot, you know.
Big Ron, you're worldly. You travel a lot. Would you go see the Packers play in Brazil?
Yeah, I mean, I would. I don't know if I'm going to be able to squeeze that in, you know, in the beginning of September. I know it's a 12-hour flight, so that might be a tough one for me. But that would be really cool. I've never been to South America. So that would be nice. How about you? The station going to put the bill for you and maybe Bill Michaels to go down there?
Well, I haven't asked. I did talk to my boss earlier this afternoon. You know, it's like asking your wife to go. Well, I've never experienced this. I know this only through sitcoms. Mostly Everybody Loves Raymond. It's like, if you're going to ask your wife to go away for a weekend and play golf, you need to wait until they're in a good mood, maybe do a favor for them first. So I am going to feel it out and wait for a good opportunity to be like, hey, what if, like, I went to Brazil and you paid for it? Like, what would you say? What say you? Like, I'm waiting for the correct moment to beg that question.
That is a very wise statement. Timing is everything.
That's correct.
When it comes to requests. Correct, absolutely. Correct, well, look, correct. I'll let your other callers get through. It was great catching up with you. Have fun on your, what is it, a fishing trip that you're going on tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going up north with a couple friends this weekend. So, yeah.
Nice. That'll be great. I'm jealous.
I am all right, excited. Have a great time. Yeah, you got it. Thanks, Big Ron. Fins up as well. Have a great weekend. It's nice to hear from you. Yeah, I'm going north. I'm going above Highway 2, not just above Highway 8. We don't stop there. We take our up north time very seriously. We're going all the way up. Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. I had to. 608-321-1670. One more call, then we'll start to... We don't need to take our break quite yet, but we got Andrew Wagner to talk Brewers with us at about 4:35. Wisco Sports Show. Who's this?
Grant, it's Corey. How you doing?
Corey! Hey, look, I apologize. You called right after 5 the other night, and I wasn't sure if the Brewer game was delayed, and I was trying to, like, how long do we need to take the show? So you got the short end of the stick the other night, and I apologize about that.
You don't have to apologize. I realized that ended the call, and then they were doing the preview. I'm like, huh, I wonder if it was just a hard break where they just, like, cut you off, but
yeah,
no big deal. So, yeah, it's been exciting watching the crew so far, and I know we're pretty early in the year, and things can always change, right? But I think we're all going to have to kind of get used to a little bit of change in the way that they might win games versus these low-scoring one-run, two-run games that we've got used to in the past. They're going to be one-run or two-run games, but more like what we've seen the last couple of days, especially when they play Cincinnati, especially when they go back in August and it's hotter than Hades down there.
Yeah.
You think they had high scores this week? Oh, you wait till late August when it's Labor Day weekend down there. It might be 15 to 13 games.
I want to play Hunter Green all the time. I want to play Hunter Green all the time. That dude just throws us meatballs constantly.
It's just right down the middle of the plate. Like, you hear that homer from Yelich last night is like kaboom. It sounded like a bomb going off when he hit it. So
bomb. That's what it sounded like.
Bomb. So I'm excited to watch this team this year because it's been a bit of like dental work watching the offense the last few years. I mean, imagine if you will, had they had that type of offense with the generational pitching talent that they had. But I digress.
That's kind of our, that's the curse of being in a small market, though. You can't have everything. Yep. You know,
apparently we cannot. So, I can still see him winning. I'm going to stick with my prediction, low 80s, I think like 82, 83. But I think it'll be exciting, 82, 83, and maybe that ends up being enough to get him in. Because you think about pitching will get you that 6-7 extra wins where your offense doesn't really necessarily come through per se, because what's always the adage, you could take your defense on the road.
Defense travels. That's what they say.
Defense travels. As they quote unquote would say. So I think we're looking forward to a fun summer. Even if they're not that great all the time, it'll be exciting. And you and Bill were discussing earlier about baseball and the rule changes and kind of the data and what have you that the Major League Players Association is trying to put forward about the elbow injuries. And personally, I think a lot of these guys are throwing hard all the time because they're hiding their inability to locate their pitches. If that makes sense.
No, that makes sense.
So, like, you look at the Braves back in the 90s, and this is going way back in the archives, but these guys could paint corners like nobody's business. Like, it would be like watching a surgeon go to work. Now it's like, okay, this guy might not have the best control, but Justin Verlander said it the other day in an interview. It was like a good 4-minute interview, and look it up if you get a chance. He talked about like the spin rates and just like blowing through, like trying to go as fast as you bleeping can. Like, okay, fine. That's great if you need it. But like, if you need that all the time, the human body's only got such limits that it can go to, and you're going to blow out your arms.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what my take is on that. From, I don't think the pitching clock thing really made a difference. Like Bill mentioned, I think that's an erroneous assumption being made by the Players Association. So that's just a digressive topic, but that was on my mind when you guys were talking about that today, and it was a good discussion, I felt. So north of Highway 2 for the fishing, huh? Try to see if you can stop by the Kimball Inn for some good supper club fare.
Kimball Inn. Now, where is that? I got about 30 seconds before I got to run. Where is that?
It is it's a little west of Hurley on Highway 2.
Oh.
About 10 minutes west. They got great whitefish from Lake Superior and great steaks there. So, and the guy's a great chef. We've gone there in the past. We've been up the Ironwood for skiing and stuff like that and snowboarding, and haven't been there a couple of years, but highly recommend. Outstanding old fashions. Nice little place.
Say less. So, well, I appreciate this, Corey. I'm going to move along because I'm going to get to a guest.
Yep. Good luck fishing, dude. Take her easy.
Thanks. We'll talk soon. That's Corey and Marshall. I appreciate you. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to be that far over by Hurley. It's funny you mentioned whitefish. The last time we were up here fishing, there were people out in the water, and they were, what's the name for the net? Not dip nets, but the ones you walk with. And they were smelting. And I'm like, that looks like an elite activity. Dudes rock. Get some fellas together and go scoop a little fish out of the lake. That's, sign me up. I want to smelt. All right, let's take a couple minutes. I bet Andrew Wagner loves a good smelt boil or a smelt fry or whatever the technical term is. Andrew Wagner, Forbes, he's been at the ballpark. He is so back on the Brewers beat, and I can't wait to bring him in. We'll talk Brewers with Andrew coming up next on the Wisco Sports Show.
This is the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Wisco Sports Show, Neil Diamond Week, day 4. It's the biggest and the best day. I'm on vacation tomorrow, so we got to get it out of our system tonight. Mike Clemens going to join us in about an hour. Going to continue to talk Brewers. I kind of want to talk about a certain NFL story coming up at 5:00. So if you're sick of baseball, I'm thinking specifically about Vagabond John. Don't worry. We'll talk football in a little bit. Mike Clemens still yet to join us before the end of the show. Right now, Andrew Wagner is here. He's back at the ballpark. He's got a new haircut. He's got new facial hair. Andrew, you are just so back on the Brewers beat in 2024.
So is Tiger, baby.
So is Tiger. I saw you had a birdie on the first hole. I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. Am I the only one that, like, loves human Tiger, like, mortal Tiger, like, that's actually rooting for him because he's one of us now? Like, Superman lost his magic powers, and now he's just out there hacking away like the rest of us?
Did you feel the same way when he was unbelievable? Like, were you pulling against him when he was that much better than everyone else?
I'm not so much pulling against him. I just wanted to see someone challenge him. I mean, I'm not one of those. You know, like how everyone hated Tom Brady because he was so damn good and they always had something negative to say about him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I appreciated the greatness of Tiger. Like going out, listen, Tiger coming down on 18 on the final day of a championship with his red shirt on, like going out there and just clubbing it. I mean, that was. That being a master of your craft I mean, that's the definition of it right there. I think I got a little sick of it. That there was nothing, you know, it was all Tiger all the time.
Yeah.
But nobody was really stepping up and challenging them. Like, remember when him and Sergio were supposed to be the rivalry of rivals, and it never happened. And I think that would have made him a little more tolerable to the haters.
Tolerable to the hate. Well, you're not a hater. I would never call you a hater. You watch with a critical eye in everything that you do. And I appreciate that about you, Andrew. You can read his stuff at Forbes. He's on Twitter at by Andrew Wagner. This Brewers team's been a lot of fun. Where should we start? Let's start with Yelich. What do you see that's different about him compared to last year or previous years? What do you think makes the difference when he's hitting with power confidently like he is now? Well, what's changed?
The difference? I don't know. He's good again.
Maybe it's not that complicated.
I mean, maybe he's, you know, listen, I think the thing that kind of killed Yelich was people forget what he did. First of all, they forget that 2018 was really that final month. He was fairly pedestrian. He was good, but pedestrian in the first half of 2018. He was kind of lining up with his career numbers and career output. He got hot in the second half and just went scorching during that final month when they went on the run, and then was playing at this out-of-this-world level in 2019 before he got hurt. And it was so, you know, we just talked about Tiger being superhuman. You know, he was putting up such superhuman numbers that it kind of became the baseline that everyone expected out of him, which is, there are very few players in baseball that you can have that expectation out of. And I said this countless times in 2020, because he had a horrible year when they came back after the pandemic.
Yeah.
Scamdemic.
I said, this thing is going to hurt hitters for years to come. They're going to, just because of the way that it was structured, you know, they didn't have as much access to one-on-one tutoring. They didn't have access in game to video and to that kind of stuff. They couldn't spend as much time in the cage. You know, there's so many limitations on stuff. Guys develop bad habits that they couldn't, you know, go back and rectify in between at bats. They couldn't identify in between at bats. They couldn't address in between at bats. They couldn't deal with it, you know, on a micro level, that it just compounded and compounded and compounded and compounded and gets the guy so completely out of whack, it takes forever to dig out. And I really believe that we saw that not just with Yelich. It would sound like an excuse if we were just talking about Yelich, but you know, look at Cody Bellinger. I mean, look at how badly he struggled in the same time frame as Yelich. You know, he got DFA'd by the Dodgers. You saw a lot of guys that really just weren't themselves after that. And I truly believe that the pandemic caused a lot of guys to just lose it. They lost whatever. It's like Chuck Knoblauch trying to throw the first base. You know, these batters got a case of the yips because they just got out of whack. They got out of their rhythm. They got out of their habit. They got out of their routine. And in a game of baseball where it's all about rhythm and routine, that has a huge effect, a huge effect. And yeah, I know they have time off in the off season, but it's a mental thing. Baseball is the most mental game out there. And I think you're finally starting to see Yelich, and again, I'll use Bellinger as an example. You'll see guys like that who may have fallen by the wayside as a result of the pandemic, you know, finally coming back into their own.
Well, it's exciting, and I, you know, maybe I'm seeing what I want to see, but I think back to 2018. It's not like that batting order, Andrew, was unbelievable top to bottom. They had a lot of solid hitters, but it was really Yelich powering the thing. Right. And when you have a hitter that great, and I can't explain it, and maybe you can. Maybe that's what I'm asking you. Please explain it, how one player like Yelich in 2018, or I think he's doing the same thing now, his success and his explosiveness, it's like it leeches into hitters around him, and it makes the whole thing work, even though it's only one of nine guys. Explain that to me.
Absolutely, because it changes how you pitch through a lineup.
Okay.
You have to be extra careful with everybody in that lineup. So you go back in the 2018, and I'm trying to look it up here, but of course my internet's messed up. But, you know, obviously Yelich was the stick that stirred the drink. No doubt about it. But Lorenzo Cain in the leadoff spot,
he was great,
was getting on base at a regular clip. You had to be extra careful pitching on him. You couldn't afford to let him go on base
because if Yelich comes in there and just crushes it, now it's like you can deal with a solo home run, but a two-run home run, now you're dealing with something else.
Yeah.
And he had Ryan Braun in there. He's crushing the baseball. I mean, when one guy is that dangerous, it changes how you pitch to everybody else, because one little mistake could be – it was a point where Yelich was going to do what Yelich was going to do. I mean, they were basically – they had a better chance of just putting on a tee and letting him pop out than pitching to him. He was hitting so well.
Yeah.
So you have to just accept Yelich is going to kill us at some point during this game. We have to minimize the other damage. It's kind of like the basketball approach. You know, you can shut down a star the Final Four. You can take Edie out of the game because the rest of Purdue probably isn't as formidable as everyone else on the UConn team. It's a pick-your-poison type of thing, and I think that's why the 2018 Brewers had the success they did, because that offense started clicking. Oh, it wasn't a great offense by any stretch of the imagination. It wasn't a dominant offense by the stretch, but it was a functional offense.
Yeah.
You know, it worked. And it produced just enough output to make up for the shortcomings and liabilities of the pitching staff.
So I have a theory, and I know you love when I talk about things like this and when I try to really get into the weeds, but I have a theory that the floor of this team this year is lower than the floor of last year's team. Because I think with that starting rotation, they were guaranteed to win a certain number of games. Like, it's just hard to be bad.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think this year's team could bottom out and be way worse. I also think if things go their way, the ceiling could be higher, because the Brewers last year took the worst offense in the postseason into the playoffs. This year, yeah, they have to have some things go their way with pitching, which wasn't the case last year. But if they get a good season out of a couple of these guys and DL Hall puts it together, they're now bringing an offense into the postseason that's dangerous and can get hot like the Diamondbacks offense did, or like, you know, so I think this team is much more volatile. They could be a lot worse than last year if certain things happen, but I also think they could be a lot more dangerous if they get in the playoffs.
I'll say the same thing that I say just about every year. This team is not going to win 100 games. This team is not going to lose 100 games,
yeah.
Which I know sounds like a complete cop-out, but listen, you have to take the realities of things into the equation. They do not have the three-headed monster in their starting rotation. They do not have the three-headed monster in the back of the bullpen that they've had in years past. They have got a collection of young and hungry dudes who are very athletic and very good and who have very high ceilings and haven't even scratched it yet. They've got a couple of well-placed, experienced veterans keeping it all together. And they have a pitching staff that is, by words of Pat Murphy, going to be a work in progress. You put it all together, and you have very little expectations on this team. Nobody is expecting this team to go to the World Series, and few people are expecting them to go to the playoffs. Personally, I still think they win the division. So they're playing with house money. They're playing with house money at that point, and we've seen in baseball, when you're playing with house money, that's when things happen. We saw it in 2018, and we saw it a little bit in 2019. You're right. I do believe that the floor is lower, and I could see where the ceiling is higher. People hate when Mark Attanasio or Matt Arnold, David Stearns or Craig Council or Pat Murphy or Chris Young talk about being competitive and getting into the playoffs. But that's what it is in baseball.
Yeah.
You are not – this is not like basketball. This is not like football. This is – it's a different animal. Competitive baseball every night – is going to be entertaining. We'll probably get you into the playoffs. And yeah, Once you're into the playoffs, that's half the battle. I haven't shown it the last couple of years, but what you have seen is the teams that go in hot and on a roll, they're the ones that make the run. And they usually, if maybe the Brewers can play themselves in the playoffs so they could guarantee themselves going to the World Series, that, you know, that'd be ideal.
Yeah. I just think getting in for this team.
You sound so defeated.
No. I think winning enough games to win the division for this team will be harder than it was for the last couple. But if this team can get in and they're able to win enough games to get in, I think they're more dangerous than the last couple of teams when they just got in. Because, like, last year they had Yelich, who was pretty good, and Contreras. And that was basically it offensively. This year they have four or five guys where I feel like I can't walk away from the TV when they're at the plate.
But something you just said, you don't know if they can win enough games to win the division this year. And that falls into the ceiling is higher, because look at the division. Yeah. I mean, okay, we're what, 10 games in, and Pittsburgh's in first place. The win totals in the National League Central right now, 9-8-7-6-6. I don't see it being that different the rest of the way. Who do you really see being able to run away in that division?
Nobody.
Do you see the Cubs having a runaway team?
No.
Do you see the Cardinals having a runaway team? The Brewers having a runaway team? I mean, this Central Division is going to end up being a battle down to the stretch. I could easily see three, maybe four teams competing for the division at, you know, going into Labor Day weekend, and three teams competing for playoff spots going into the final stretch. I mean, it's going to be a very close division. It's going to be a very exciting division. And who the hell knows who's going to come out on top? I don't see any – like I said, the Brewers aren't going to win 100 games. They aren't going to lose 100 games. I don't see anybody else in that division winning 100 games or losing 100 games.
No, and I think weirdly, you know, this might be the year where, because the division's coming down to the wire, whatever team comes out of the division is going to come out with a little bit of momentum, all of a sudden sprinting into the playoffs.
Exactly.
Could be interesting. Again, Andrew Wagner.
2018.
Yeah, exactly. Just like 2018. I got to take a break. Hey, I appreciate you so much. This was nice. Let's do this again soon.
As long as I don't have to listen to Neil Diamond.
Okay, well, that's a 1 week. That's just a this week thing. So you're relieved of
Sturgill
that.
Sturgill Simpson,
today.
LCD sound system, Turnpike, you know, Killers. Those are good.
You know, not every band that you listen to needs to be like a testament to proving your masculinity. Like, you're a manly man. It's okay. You can listen to other things. Your music.
I just said the Killers and LCD sound system. How is that masculine?
Andrew Wagner, I appreciate you, and I love your music. We'll talk more music next time.
Go to bed, young man.
Yeah, thank you. Andrew Wagner, Forbes on Twitter, @byandrewwagner. I like Andrew dropping by every once in a while. We're going to have to keep him coming on. I think this team could be more dangerous if they get into the postseason. I think getting into the postseason is a little bit more up in the air than the last couple of teams. Last couple of teams, very sturdy, right? Like a Budenholzer team, very sturdy, right? We kind of know what they're about. They're going to win a certain number of games. When you get into the postseason, you know, could maybe, but this team is not a Budenholzer-esque, you know, fast pass to 55 wins in the regular season type team. But if they find a way to get in, I think they have players that can get white hot and get dangerous in ways that we couldn't really see or envision the last couple of years. Let's take our final 3 minute break of the hour. We'll wrap up hour number one, the Wisco Sports Show, next.
This is the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Hot August night, and the leaves hanging down, and the grass on the ground smelling sweet.
Wisco Sports Show, wrapping up hour number one. Mike Clemens set to join us at 5:30. Eric on I-90 texts in and says, ask Mike if he ever met OJ. I wouldn't be shocked if he had. Maybe I will. Is that in bad taste? I don't know. Eric in Hudson says, something of a PSA for you and your listeners. I recently heard that Sal Frelick was Mr. Football in the state of Massachusetts, so I pulled up his senior year highlights on YouTube. If you ever want to be wildly entertained, check it out. It's absolutely hilarious. I will do that later today. He doesn't look like a football player. He is not a tall lad. Let's put it that way. He's stout. No, he's built. He's stout, in short. GWP Dad says, this year's Brewers is like one of those mutual funds from Vanguard they label as high risk. Your investment may double or triple, or you may lose your ass. Yes, I actually think that's the perfect analogy. I'm pissed that I didn't think about it. Unnamed in the 262 says, hell yeah, Big Ron, batting average still matters, especially with runners in scoring position. I was looking up league-wide batting average with runners in scoring position because I think that stat is a little fluky, especially when you've only played 11 or 12 games. But you know what? All the good teams were at the top and all the bad teams were at the bottom. So maybe it's not a fluky stat. Maybe the good teams just get hits when they need to get hits with runners in scoring position, and the bad teams don't. And through that logic, I guess that would make the Brewers a good team? Maybe, probably, right? A plus B equals C, or I guess 1 + 1 = 2. And I feel like that logic would then mean that the Brewers are a good team. I tweeted last night, and I understand it's a small sample size, but I tweeted last night, we can wrap up the hour with this. I said, huh, early results indicate that the Brewers are a clever, thoughtfully constructed team that should win lots of games and likely contend for a playoff spot. Who could have seen this coming? Except this has been true for the better part of 5 or 6 years now. Yelich said before the year, no one ever thinks we're going to be good because we're the Brewers, but we're good every year. Yeah. Let's take a 2-minute break. We'll get an update from Zach Heilprin. Mike Clemens set to join us hour number two. Wisco Sports Show coming up next.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the great state of Brooklyn, Neil Diamond.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
This is where Wisconsin gathers to talk sports. Packers, Brewers, Badgers, Bucks. The Wisco Sports Show is on the air. Here's your host, Grant Bills.
Just trying to think of how this could go. Mike Clemens joining us now on the Wisco Sports Show. Mike, welcome. Hey, have you ever met OJ? Yeah, it's too direct. Mike, we got a lot to talk about. You know, Packers headed to Brazil. You're chatting it up with Mark Murphy. Hey, by the way, did you ever meet the juice? You ever meet the juice? Yeah, I should ask Mike when he joins us coming up in a bit. That's a great idea, Eric. Thank you for that suggestion. Final day, Neil Diamond Week 2024. I'm off tomorrow, so I will be missing a Friday show. Unless you look at it the way I do, I'm not here. There is no Friday show, so can't miss the Friday show. Speaking of not missing a show, Fish put out a new song last night. How did I miss this? Spotify's sending me notifications like 20 minutes ago that Fish has new music. So I have to catch up on that as well. I have a lot to handle. I have a lot to take care of before 6 o'clock. We're going to talk with Mike Clemens, like I said. I would like to play you this interview that he sent me last night with Mark Murphy. It's awesome. It's one of the best things Mike has sent me in a while, and I would really like to make it a part of the show. I don't know if it's going to fit, because I want to continue to have Brewers conversations, and there is an NFL story that I'd like to discuss. Got a text here from Clemhead Mike. Kudos on knowing that Neil Diamond wrote, "I'm a believer. I was a huge Monkees fan in the 60s and didn't know that until the 70s. I got one thing on you, Clemhead Mike. I got one thing, and it's just that. You got me basically everything else. Eric says he probably did when OJ was in the booth for NBC. See, I didn't know Eric. I didn't know that OJ was ever a commentator. I don't know much OJ lore. I did watch OJ Simpson versus the People with Sarah Paulson and David Schwimmer. And I don't remember who played Johnny Cochran, but it was Cuba Gooding Jr. as OJ. And then David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian. God, that ripped. That was an awesome miniseries. I watched it all in one Saturday afternoon. I was hung over as hell. And I'm like, I'm going to at least use this day productively. And I watched the whole thing. It was riveting. So I can only imagine how good the actual trial was to follow and to just get absorbed in. 608-321-1670. Let's take a call and then we'll reset the show. Wisco Sports Show. Who's this?
Hey, Grant. Clemhead Mike.
Clemhead, the aforementioned or the previously that we were just talking about you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know which word is correct.
Yeah, I don't know if you got through all of that flash drive I sent you, but on the originals and remakes, I have the Neil Diamond, I'm a Believer, and the Monkees, I'm a Believer on that. I'm pretty sure. So
they're both excellent. Nothing against the Monkees version. Nothing against Smash Mouth's version. No. I'm a Neil man through and through.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so glad you played my second favorite Neil Diamond song. You just played Brother Loves Traveling Salvation Show. That's my second favorite.
That's spiritual. Okay. That's spiritual.
You played
well,
first?
Well, here's the thing is, there's only so many Neil songs before it's like, what are we listening to? So chances are, if you like a Neil song, it's going to get played at some point during the week. There's only so many Neil songs.
Oh, I know. I do regret, though, I have a 2-CD Neil Diamond. I almost said Neil Young. Neil Diamond 2-CD set his greatest hits, and I forgot to put it on that flash drive, and I was kicking myself in the butt for that.
I think I probably lost. I would be curious to go back and learn how many of my parents' CDs I lost or broke or scratched. Like when I took a CD out of my dad's car or something because I wanted to listen to it, he had to just assume, well, like, I'm not getting that back. It's coming back scratched or broken, or it's not coming back at all.
Yeah, I put all my CDs on my computer. I ripped them all off the computer
in
case.
That's smart. Yeah. You never know. That's really smart. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk Brewers? You want to talk Packers? What do you want to do? The world is kind of your oyster here, Mike.
I'm kind of excited about the Brewers this year. If they play 500 ball the rest of the year, they'll have my I predicted 84 wins. So they'll have 84 wins, I think.
That sounds about right. Yeah. slightly over 500. I think what we talked about with Big Ron a little bit less than an hour ago, can Joe Ross become a guy the Brewers can basically assume they're going to get five innings from? You know what I mean? That would be huge.
Yeah.
And if Wade Miley can stay healthy, and also, like, here's the thing. Let's say they have a five-man rotation. If three or four of those guys in that rotation can be trusted to throw at least five innings, this team is in a really good spot. It's when Freddie Peralta is like the only guy that you can trust to eat some innings. That's where they would run into problems.
Yeah, I like what you said before earlier. The Brewers have completely changed their personality from what they were last year. Because last year they could pitch like crazy, but they had no hitting. Now this year it looks like they're hitting the ball like crazy.
Yeah.
And their pitching is a little weak. And I was so encouraged by Wade Miley last night. I was just really happy with that. If he can stay healthy, man, it's helps a lot. You know, I was really impressed by that. So, yeah.
It's about being available with Wade Miley. When he's healthy, he's good. It's when he's bogged down with injuries and he's not able to pitch. That's when, you know, he's run into trouble the last couple of years. I just think if there's one wild card in the rotation, one or two, we're like, I don't know, might be in for a three or a four inning night. Okay, that's fine. Like, DL Hall can figure it out slowly but surely. And, you know, if you got to pitch Jacob Junis, you know, to eat three or four innings, that's fine. But if you can get the majority of your starting rotation to basically bottom out at a five inning start, then this team is in a really good spot, especially the way they're scoring.
I was watching Ortiz throw from third base last night.
Yeah.
My God, that guy could pitch.
Well, they have three shortstops between Adamas Terang and Ortiz. They got three shortstops all throughout the infield.
Yeah, so if they were up by 12 or down by 12, they know they can throw him in as a pitcher. So, yeah, I just wanted to wish you some good fishing and be careful up there. Don't fall in and have a good time.
I appreciate that, Clemhead. Oh, of course. No, I'll be back on Monday at 4, and you have a good weekend, Clemhead. I appreciate you, your texts, your calls, always. I've never fallen in, in the river while wade fishing. I did fill my waders a couple weeks ago where I took one too many steps and it filled with water. It's like, damn it. So then your leg is wet the rest of the time you're fishing, so that's no fun. I might jump in Lake Superior. I have a really hard time being around a body of water and not jumping in. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I'm a Pisces. I don't know. That's definitely not it. I don't know. I like swimming. I like, even when it's cold, it feels good. So I might have to jump in the old Gitchy Goom. I might have to. We'll see. I'll update you on Monday, Clemhead. Hey, I wanted to talk about one NFL story here, and then I think I want to play this Clemens interview with Murphy coming up before we actually talk to Mike. But we talked a little bit about the T. Higgins situation on Bill's show earlier today. We learned today that the Bengals haven't talked to T. Higgins since he requested a trade. And that was about a month ago. And like many players, he doesn't want to play under the franchise tag, right? The Bengals paid Burrow. They will have to pay Ja'Marr Chase. They probably can't also pay T. Higgins. Now, they could, right? But then they basically have no money left if they do that, right? It's probably not smart team building to pay your quarterback a bunch of money and then to max out two wide receivers because, of course, the age-old idea, the thought process is, well, if we need to pay two, you know, max contract wide receivers, why the hell do we need to pay the quarterback? You just get Jake Browning out there, right? Joe Burrow making all this money, he's got to be able to handle a little bit of this himself, right? So the Bengals paid Burrow, they're going to pay Chase, probably can't pay T. Higgins, and T. Higgins knows it, right? And that's basically why the Bengals have been letting his contract run out. They've been going all in the last couple of years, knowing that, well, we're not going to re-sign T. Higgins, but we're not in a rush to trade him either. We'll play him, and we'll try to win with him, And then at the last moment, we'll trade him or maybe we'll lose him in free agency for nothing if we feel like maybe we can have a good crack and try to make a Super Bowl run with him on the final year of his contract, right? T. Higgins, like Tyreek Hill or like Devontae Adams, was basically like, okay, look, I've played nice. I understand that I'm probably not in the long, long-term plans here. I've played nice, but time is up, right? I am ready to be paid. And since you're not going to be the team to do it, please trade me. Right, I've been here. I've understood the circumstances. It's now high time that I'm done accepting these circumstances. I want to go somewhere that will be invested in me long term. And I get that. I really, really do. It would be a weird spot to be in, being a high level player, knowing that one day you're going to make a lot of money, but you're not on the team that's ultimately going to give you that money. So their commitment is kind of a little bit mixed, right? It's like dating someone for 6 or 7 years and you're like, when are they going to propose? It seems like they're waiting for the time to get out of this. It would be the same feeling for T. Higgins. And I totally get it. I totally get that he wouldn't want to play under the franchise tag, right? But what we've seen in recent years is that a team with a young, cheap quarterback acquires a receiver like T. Higgins. So think of the Dolphins with Tyreek Hill, the Bears with DJ Moore last year, the Bills, and now the Texans with Stephon Diggs. It's happened to Diggs twice, where the young team with the rookie contract quarterback acquires him in kind of an all-in-ish move. Now, all of those trades looked a little bit different. The Bears were a little bit further along with their quarterback. I think Tyreek Hill is better, much better than DJ Moore and Stephon Diggs. But the spirit behind all of those trades is consistent, right? A young team with money acquires a proven wide receiver and gives them the contract they are seeking and pairs them with the young quarterback. Okay. The Packers could fit this mold. And we talked about this last year, like about this time. I remember doing shows with Ben Kenny when Bill would take days off and we would talk about, you know, the upcoming season. And before Jordan Love ever played a snap, we'd talk about this. If this year's a good starting point, you know, if they win some games and they look like Matt LaFleur's the guy and it looks like Jordan Love's the guy, then they could add some veterans to compete in 2024, right? And I'd say last season was as good of a starting point as we could have possibly hoped for. Now, the Packers went out and got the veteran Xavier McKinney, so maybe that was their all-in veteran addition. Maybe they add a veteran wide receiver, too. We've seen lots of teams do it. I don't think Higgins makes sense for Green Bay, T. Higgins. He would make them worse. Don't get me wrong. He would certainly be helpful. He's a good player. But I don't think the juice would be worth the squeeze, right? I don't think the trade compensation will be as high as some think. Like, if T. Higgins is going to get traded, it's got to take a first or a second round pick. Well, of course, it always depends on the first round pick, right? The 8th overall pick or the 30th overall pick, very different picks, right? So we to say plainly, well, a first round pick is needed to get T. Higgins, is a little bit generic, a little bit more specific. I bet the T. Higgins could go for a second or maybe a third and a fifth. Something like that. Because here's the thing. The team that acquires T. Higgins is going to have to immediately turn around and pay him. So you're basically buying a player twice. You're trading and giving up draft capital, and then you're signing him to a massive extension. You know what I mean? It's costing you twice. So that keeps the trade compensation down. And Higgins and his camp will have all the leverage when they arrive on the new team because they know this team just gave up picks for me. They're not going to let me walk. They will pay every penny we ask for because they have no choice. So the Packers have the picks to trade and they have the money to spend, but it's not a perfect fit. And I think if you're going to give up picks and sign a player in a very all-in move to a lot of money, it's got to be a perfect fit. And it's a little bit redundant. T. Higgins, Romeo Doubs, Dontavian Wicks. Now, if you could get a player like Christian Watson, you could take the top off of defense, blazing speed, vertical threat that completely adds an element to the offense that's missing when Christian Watson has been unavailable. Okay, but T. Higgins isn't that guy. So it would be a nice add, but it would cost a ton in draft capital. Little draft capital, a lot of money. I don't think the draft capital would be as much as a lot of people would guess, because the money then has to be paid. And that's factored in when these teams make these deals. Let's take one call, then we'll take a break. 608-321-1670. Wisco Sports Show. Who's this?
Ridge Runner Mark. Am I out of the penalty box?
You are out of the penalty. Why did I? Oh, for swearing? Is that why I put you in the penalty box?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I forgot about it until you brought it up. So, yeah, you're well.
I know, right? I work in a warehouse where the F word is kind of standard language. So I
gotcha.
Get a little excited.
I gotcha. And it happens.
Yeah. So it's... Your your take on Higgins, I get it. I agree 100%, because if you look at the history of the Packers, the last time they, like, brought in a free agent, really good wide receiver was Andre Rison when they won their first Super Bowl with Favre. And they haven't really had the notion to do it since. They've always done the Charles Woodson of the world. They've brought in really good defensive help. Or they brought in a wide receiver or a tight end that may be kind of behind, you know, past their prime. So it really doesn't make sense. And they've got so many young wide receivers that you kind of just want to see what they do for one more year.
Yes.
Before you say, we need to bring something else in. So, yeah, I agree with you.
So,
I wouldn't do it. And again,
I think T. Higgins would be a great addition. I think he's a really good player.
Oh, sure.
But he's not bringing something new to the mix. Right. And I think really the only thing that I would add into this Packers wide receiving core is some type of Christian Watson insurance. Right. Some guy who's blazing fast, who can fill that need if he's injured, because I really like Christian Watson. But if he misses 3 or 4 games, it's a big part of their offense that's subtracted from the mix. All of a sudden that threat is gone. And that really takes an element away from the offense. So I would love to have Christian Watson insurance. T. Higgins doesn't provide that, and he's going to cost a ton. They're going to have to sign him to a huge deal if they were to acquire him. I don't think it makes sense.
No. And I've seen reports where they figured out the issue with Watson, and they have a plan. So here's hoping that he doesn't have the same injury proneness that he's had in his past years. Real quick, because I know you want to take a break, but Brewers, is Joey Weimer on the major league roster, or did they send him down? I haven't watched.
Well, he's definitely not on the major league. I don't know if he's on the 40 man or exactly where he is, but he is not in the major leagues.
Okay. He's working on a new swing, right?
Yeah, he changed his swing a little bit in the off season.
Okay. Boy, they got a lot of young bucks just out there swinging the lumber. I wonder if, you know, we're going to see a kind of a drop off when pitchers start to figure some of these younger cats out. Is that something you've been thinking about, or you think this is a good offensive team so far?
Well, I think this is a good offensive team. I think Yelich and Contreras and Hoskins and Adames, there's enough of a veteran presence of guys who are good they can have, like, Bryce Terang's hitting really well right now. I don't know if that'll continue at this level.
Right.
But then, like, you would expect, okay, now Garrett Mitchell's back and maybe he gets on a little bit of a tear, or Jackson Chourio gets white hot for 10 days. So they're not all young guys. Last year it was like Yelich and Contreras and all young guys. The mix is much more balanced this season.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
Yeah. I appreciate your Ridge Runner, Mark. You're out of the penalty box. I forgot that even happened.
Sweet. No, I have a long memory when I do something stupid. So
I do too. I appreciate you, man. Have a good night.
Yep. Take care. Giddy up.
Ridge Runner, Mark. Giddy up. Let's take a break. 3 minutes. We'll come back. Continue the Wisco Sports Show. I want to listen to a little bit of this conversation Mike Clemens had with Packers CEO Mark Murphy. This is an awesome bit of audio. I can't wait to play this for you next.
This is the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Wisco Sports Show. Appreciate you listening, hanging out. Mike Clemens going to join us here in about 10 or 12 minutes. I'm excited to just catch up with the guy. Maybe he's got a Neil Diamond story. Maybe he's got an O.J. Simpson story. I don't know. We'll have to ask him. Until we get to Mike, for the next 6 or 7 minutes, I don't normally do this. I don't like playing long pieces of audio or press conferences without, like, jumping in and giving my comments on them because I can't help myself. We played this earlier during Bill's show. This is an awesome interview. Mike Clemens had a one-on-one with Mark Murphy, Packers president, CEO, because Mike's been like grouping. He's been traveling around with the Packers tailgate tour the last day or two. This was an awesome conversation. So I listened to this earlier. I want to play this again. This is an awesome conversation about the Packers going to Brazil, expectations in year 2 with Jordan Love, all of it. This is 10 out of 10 work. I can't wait to tell that to Mike when he joins us in a bit. Here's their conversation.
And with Packers president, CEO, Mark Murphy on the Packers tailgate tour. How are you? Been making stops at senior centers. of advocates for folks with special needs, and now a fundraiser for an event here in Beloit. You're seeing schools as well.
Sure.
No, it's it's been great. Second day of a 5-day tailgate tour. Mostly southern Wisconsin. We'll be heading over towards the Madison area. It's I think it really separates the Packers from most other teams. Yeah. It's not something that I don't think any team does anything like it. And it's a way for us to kind of give back to communities that have supported us over the years and then also to thank our fans.
I was with Leroy Butler at one of the first stops in Kenosha, and he's been added to your board of directors, which he's really excited and proud of. And he said, you know, the best thing is I get to work with the Team Foundation because, Mike, we go to some of these social agencies where if we don't come and help them out, they may have to close their doors.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's great to have Leroy on our side and just such a great spokesman for the organization. But, yeah, no, it's a tribute to Kathy. Kathy Dworak kind of oversees all of our community outreach. And, the foundation and foundations are really important, but there's a lot beyond that. I think our overall community impact this past year was over $12 million. So it's a high priority for us is giving back.
You're being humble, but I know that, man, you really light up some faces of fans, people who kind of maybe feel a little forgotten about, and they actually get to see you and your guys in person. I mean, it's tremendous.
Yeah, well, I think they really love seeing the players. I'm like an old man. Who is this guy? But, yeah, no, it's this is our 18th tailgate tour. I think I've been on 16 now. And, it's really fun. Obviously, especially at the stops at the schools, you know, to see the excitement. It's usually a surprise. So when they see the players walk in, it's pretty exciting. And the other thing that's really is rewarding, we always have a combination of usually it's three former players and three current players. And to see the interaction between them, it's a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah. Great experience for the players. The NFL announces it's the Eagles and the Packers in Brazil for week one. How much gain is there in markets like London and Germany and Mexico? I mean, does the league actually see an increase in merchandise sales or people wanting to stream games and interest in the NFL?
They do. I think TV particularly has been helped dramatically in terms of the international games. It's a long-term play, though, really. This year we'll have 5 international games. Next year, I think it goes up to 8. So it's something that is a high priority for the league. And, the trip to London was phenomenal. Just for our first time to see the fan support that was there. You were there. And that was pretty impressive. And I'm really... really looking forward to seeing Brazil. I think, we're the most popular team in Brazil, and really anxious to see the kind of support we'll get in the game.
Have you or anybody in your front office been to Brazil before?
Yes. I have not, but we sent, about a week ago, we sent 7 people down. The league sent people from Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Green Bay because they hadn't made a decision yet, so... got a lot of feedback, and we're looking forward to it. It is a long trip. It's about a 12-hour flight, and just kind of working through some of the logistics for the league. But I'm confident things will work out with the league.
Well, you got to get these athletes down there on a 12-hour flight. Yeah. So, I mean, how close are you to coming up with a plan that you guys feel comfortable with?
Yeah, no, I say I'm confident we'll do it, and it's a long flight for the Eagles too. I think we're all kind of dealing with it, this is a high priority for the league and international growth. And the goal is right now the NFL is a top 3 sport in 3 countries: United States, Mexico, and Canada. And the goal is to significantly increase that. And it'll be great for the NFL and. Obviously the Packers being, I think what makes us popular is not only the history and tradition and success we've had. I think our ownership structure, And particularly, I've heard in Brazil, a lot of their teams are, soccer teams have similar ownership structures. So I think they really relate well, and the culture there is, among the professional soccer teams there, is similar to the Packers. So, you know, really, really excited to see it in person.
I learned today, it's huge. I mean, the city you're going to be in, it's bigger than New York and the size of Illinois.
I know. No, it's going to be eye-opening. I've never been to South America. And I think, I'm sure that hardly anybody else in our organization has been here. So I think particularly for the players, it'd be a tremendous experience.
What's your first impression of defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley?
Yeah, you know, I've had a chance to talk to him quite a bit. We haven't even seen the players here, but been pretty impressed just what the times that I've been with him, but just reading about his background. I'm optimistic that, I think we'll see a lot of positive changes.
Can I ask the former safety what he thinks of Xavier McKinney?
Xavier McKinney wouldn't be on our team if Jeff wasn't fully on board. So he's excited about him, and I am. Just watching. I remember when we played them, made a couple plays that really stood out, and you look at it. He's young. I think he's only 24, and yet he's had a lot of experience and takes the ball away and looks like he really tackles well. Anxious to see him. I think he'd be a really good addition.
I got a room full of about 300-400 Packer fans waiting for you, Mark Murphy. Thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Thanks for making the effort to get down here.
Mark Murphy, the Packers CEO. That's one of the best things that Mike Clements has ever sent to me. I was amped to be able to play that on Bill's show earlier, and I'm like, I got to tuck that in tonight. So we're going to take a quick break, come back, and we'll chat with Mike Clements next. It's the Wisco Sports Show.
This is the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Wisco Sports Show, beginning to wrap up Neil Diamond Week. I'm off tomorrow. So Ebo will be helping out with Bill's show. Tomorrow night will be a best of. I think I might just run the spring training show again tomorrow night. And then we'll be back to normal on Monday. Neil Diamond Week, one of my favorite weeks of the entire year. Mike Clements is joining us now. Mike, I don't know. We've talked about music here and there. I don't know if we've ever had a Neil Diamond conversation. Have you ever seen him? You have any Neil Diamond stories? You have stories about everybody.
No, I should have seen him. I feel stupid that I didn't, because he is a tremendous songwriter and unique between folk and pop and a little bit of rock and roll and stuff like that. So, and that stuff lasts, 50 years later, I think those songs still sound great.
I still think they do too. They're fun to sing. So that's what we've been wasting our time on this week on this show. This Brazil story is an interesting one. I don't really know what to say about it. I know these teams, they treat these international trips as a pain in the butt, and I guess for them they probably are, but I think this is going to be a smashing success for the NFL. A Friday night, Packers-Eagles under the lights in Brazil. Like, I just think this is going to look great. I think it's going to be a huge success for the league, and honestly, I think Matt LaFleur and Mark Murphy and the Packers, I think they'll get over it. I don't think it's the end of the world to travel down to Brazil on a Friday night, and then you get the rest of the week.
Well, years ago, I used to cringe at professional athletes, whether it was NBA, NFL, or whatever, complaining about travel and being on the road and whatnot. And I just thought, shut up. You're 24, 25 years old.
Yeah.
Suck it up. But, as years go by, and then when you get access to these teams, and you kind of travel a lot yourself, there is something to it, man.
Yeah.
There's something to it. And now they've got even more information about how much it can drain you when you're at, 30 or 40,000 feet and moving along. The next thing is, this is a 12 to 13 hour flight.
Yeah.
And so while I don't even know if it's maybe a 2 hour difference, in Brazil, it isn't some kind of like Eastern type of
it's time zone. It's 2 hours compared to Green Bay. They're only a 2 hour difference.
Yeah, yeah. all that stuff, you know, does have an effect on you. And I know that it's true. See, though, to me, I get such an adrenaline rush usually, you know, like when we were at the Super Bowl and the stupid hours we kept, you know, for 7 or 8 days,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, I kind of get excited by that. But whatever the case, I'll listen to LeFleur and his trainers and, you know, health experts that this is going to be a challenge. So to me, you know, at the end of the day, just put money on all this. How does the NFL make the most money on this? How do they get more viewers? How do they grow the sport? And you can't deny an operation that's got a sport that drew 123.4 million viewers, the most watched television broadcast in the history of the medium with their last Super Bowl.
Yep.
But Goodell and his boys on Park Avenue in New York know what they're doing. So when it comes to, we're going to play in London, we're going to play in Mexico, we're going to play in Germany, which, by the way, Murphy would have loved a game in Germany because he just thinks that that would have been. But I just tweeted out, I started reading, because you know what? I got a sense from some sources 2 or 3 weeks ago, like, Green Bay's really close on this, and you better start paying attention to it. And I started reading headlines from Brazil, like, what? Who wants to go there, man?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a travel danger. But they're not going to be able to leave the hotel room. Unlike, you know, when they went to London and they went to go see Abbey Road and, you know, the Beatles and all the other sights and sounds, I don't know if they're going to want to leave in the grounds. So what's fun? What's the point of that? But at the end of the day, you know, you hear about the – that's what I just asked Murphy about if you're in the interview. I said, you know, are you really going to grow people in Brazil streaming NFL games? Are you going to really sell that much more merch?
Yeah.
In Brazil, he said, you know, the flag in Brazil is green and gold. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a Packer flag. And that's part of the reason that maybe that the Packers are popular. And you know something? I've got a friend, and he and his wife, whatever, they're into formula racing,
mm-hmm.
which is usually all in Europe.
Yeah, and it's very expensive. That's a luxury sport right there.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, but they're into it. They think it's cool. And maybe they go down to Road America, you know, like Bill Michaels does when he broadcasts from there. But whatever, it's got nothing to do with really around here. So they've got to watch it happen overseas, and they got to get a special channel for it. That's where the Packers are. That's where Goodell is with football. Maybe we get more eyeballs in these other countries and not necessarily move teams there, but just get increased interest as TV viewership and merchandise purchases and maybe even sponsorships.
So this is going to be a Friday night game, and I think it'll fit for a Friday night. I think a game in Brazil at 9 a.m. is a little odd. That'd be a little odd. I think the fact that it's Friday night opening week, I think it's going to be perfect for where it's situated on the calendar. The NFL's coming after Christmas this year, so they're going to have games on a Wednesday. They're going to have a game Friday night opening week. You know, you've been covering this league a long time, Mike. Do you think the NFL could ever get to a point where they push and push and push, push too much to the point where the people who watch the games are like, actually, I don't know that I need games on this often, right? Do you think they ever push too far? Do you think that's even possible?
Well, some people thought that they did a few years ago. By the way, a buddy of mine from the WIAA said, mm-hmm. Oh, great. That's like our conference games, high school football in Wisconsin. It's gonna, you know, these are big high school games going on. We've had a couple of preseason games on Friday night, and I thought, man, instead of Thursday night football, I think Friday night football would be a heck of a lot more fun. You know, leave Saturday nights for college, but I'd rather have Friday night football than Thursday night football. Maybe that's why they don't want to go there. Who knows? Who knows? Thursday night is probably a better night for TV.
Yeah.
And a better chance for ratings.
Yeah.
But in terms of is the NFL, you know, getting too broad for their shoulders, 5 years ago, there was a lot of that kind of sentiment in the media. And, you know, people would analyze sports and saying, you know, the NFL is just too good for themselves. And they're getting to be more and more and more of a country club. And Mark Murphy actually addressed it in his shareholders meeting. And he brought that up. He says, I think that that's a valid point. And I think that, you know, so that's something that we're talking about in the next year, is that how can we do that? So you know what? At the end of the day, you know, Jerry Jones and those guys all live in this huge. They're all billionaires.
Yeah.
And they do throw their weight around, and they can be a real pain to deal with in terms of their arrogance and talking to the media and therefore communicating with fans. You know, the more money they make, the more guarded they seem to become. But, you know, that's why this tailgate tour thing that the Packers are on this week, that brings them back down to reality. And, you know, years ago, I kind of frankly gave up on the tailgate tour as a guy trying to answer the question for fans and for our listeners, what's doing this week to try and put a winning team on the field? Because the Packers, like, look, we feel as a shareholders-owned team, we want to help our communities across Wisconsin. And we set aside a fund. We set aside a fund, a foundation fund. This year they're handing out, they're making out $12 million in checks, okay, to your kids' youth program or, you know, your disability, you know, nephew.
Yeah.
We're going to add, you know, we're going to write a $25,000 check to these guys. And they, like Santa Claus, they stop at all these little stops. Some of them are secrets. Some of these directors don't know until the morning of, hey, by the way, is it okay if the Packers stop by? They'd like to stop by and say hi for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
They walk in and they say hi to the residents. They say hi to the workers, the staffers. And then before they leave, they hand, you know, an envelope to the director and say, here, this is from the Packers. And it's a check for $25,000. You know, that's what this thing is. And so I've been following that for the last couple of days. And you know what? It's absolutely amazing. This morning, we were at Beloit Memorial High School, which, by the way, that's where I went.
That's your alma mater?
Yeah.
You stop by, see the old locker? You got your name on the wall somewhere? Anything like that? Or not really?
You know why? Because we live in a different era. Instead of just walking into the gym door, we had to turn around and walk all the way to the front door where the security buzzes you in.
Mm-hmm.
And where there's a couple of armed security guards. And it was 9 o'clock and class change, and the kids were like, okay, you got second period off. Please report to the gym because the Packers are coming today. And then, you know, you walk in and there's still our trophy case is still up there. They've had some additions. They've made some nice additions over the years to the place. But when I was walking out of the place with Mark Murphy, I stopped. I said, hey, come here. So I said, see that? I said, so that's like the class of 69 and 72. That's Jimmy Caldwell. You know, the NFL head coach. He went to that school and he was on that state winning basketball team. And I said, then a guy that was a couple of years older than me that I'm friends with to this day, Bill Hanslick, he led his team to the state championship. They lost to this team from Eau Claire. They were ranked number one, Beloit ranked number one, because Bill got recruited by Digger Phelps, played at Notre Dame, and then 15 years in the NBA, Seattle Supersonics, and then the Denver Nuggets, and then he actually coached Charlotte for a couple of years. And years later, I found out the team that beat my high school in the finals was from Eau Claire, coached by a guy named Dick Bennett.
Man, everything comes full circle in this state. Everything comes full circle in Wisconsin.
I know.
Isn't it wild?
Like, and so then we get in there into a gymnasium with 1,000 kids, and they're all noisy, and they're on their cell phones. And then Mark Murphy starts addressing the kids. And by the way, Mark Murphy, he's got a show. He's got some game. He could do lounges in Vegas. He's got this down after 16 years. He's pretty good. And I also thought, I had the feeling, like, I don't think his predecessor is nearly as good as this guy working a crowd of teenagers. But they hand the phones. He hands the microphone over to like an Elton Jenkins, like a Mike Daniels, like a Brian Bulaga. And Mike Daniels said, hey, listen up. And then finally he gets command of the room and you can hear a pin drop. And he said, I know the challenges you're going through. And he tells about his days at a tough school in New Jersey. And he said, the way you get out of this is you pay attention to your teachers and your coaches. That's your way out of this. That's your path. Listen to what your teachers are telling you. Listen to what your coaches did. That's what I did. That's how I got into the NFL.
And the teachers
pretty good stuff.
Teachers are all like, hell yeah, listen to the yes. football player. You heard what Mike Daniels said. Listen to him. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's Although good
one
advice.
Of the teachers, they did, then Murphy did a Q&A. So kids came up and they asked different questions, and some were pretty funny and whatnot. You know, who's your favorite player and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the female teachers took the mic. Oh, a teacher. Okay, what's your question? Yeah, I just want to know, are any of you single?
It's a fair question. It's reasonable to ask.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I just... I'm appreciative that you came on, Mike, and told us some stories about the tailgate tour. And in my head, I have this image of you, like the groupie for the band, following the tour all over the country in your little hippie van. That's what I'm picturing you doing with the Packers as they go all over the state.
Yeah,
on,
I'm doing
tour.
That Almost Famous thing, if you ever saw that movie, right?
Yeah.
But you know something? You got to do this because I'm learning a whole different side of these guys. And sometimes it's always great to get them off campus. You know, funny things happen, like the one senior center they pulled up to, and it was a beautiful day on Tuesday. And so they got all these residents are out there, and some of them can go walk, and some have got walkers, whatever. But they're told, you know, all right, we're waiting for the big Packer bus is going to pull up here. Mm-hmm. Right? Everybody get ready. And all of a sudden, here came this big rumbling. I'm like, and they're applauding and cheering, and woo-hoo! And I'm like, oh, my God, I still didn't have my equipment ready. It's like they're 10 minutes early, and I had to cross the street. And I look up, and this big green and yellow truck went driving by. It was a waste management truck. Director had to say, no, that's not the Packers. I mean, some of these people were chasing it down the street like dogs going after hubcaps.
A little bit of a false alarm.
Yeah, it was like the ice cream truck going by and not stopping kind of thing. No, that's not the Packers. And then, you know, the cruise liner showed up about 10 minutes later on time.
Well, enjoy your tour, Mike. I'm sure we'll talk next week or sometime. And we're getting real close to the draft, so we'll talk about that before too long, too.
We'll do. And you know what? Next time, too, I want to talk to you about Josiah DeGuara. Did you know that he signed with the Jaguars? The former third-round pick?
Yeah. An odd player with
not,
a very
not reported
odd
much,
career.
But not reported much. But, you know, when you draft guys like, you know, Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, and you got Ben Sims you picked up, yanked off the Vikings practice squad before they could sign him. And the other thing is that means they're still very high on Tyler Davis, who went down with a torn ACL, but they even have helping out the coaches. That's their tight ends. And, you know, Josiah fell out of favor with them, and he got the message and had to go sign with somebody else in free agency. So there's still those kinds of things going on that I find really interesting.
I'm sure we'll have a very thorough catch up as we get closer to the draft or as more news breaks about the Packers. Appreciate you, Mike. Talk soon.
Thank you. Great to talk to you, Grant. Appreciate
you
it.
As well. Nice to catch up. That's Mike Clemens, and he continues on his tailgate tour as a groupie. Before we take our last break, there's been a caller waiting on hold, and I would feel bad not rewarding their patience by getting on the air. Wisco Sports Show. Who's this?
It's Darnell.
Darnell, I saw you tweeted at me. You said you forgot about me. It's like, well, I don't know who's on hold. What's going on?
it's all good. I will stay on hold to listen to Mike Clemens talk. This guy's gold. So
yeah, he was good.
I don't want to talk about the Packers at all because I think it does a disservice to the other professional teams that are doing great in Wisconsin right now.
That's fine.
On the off season. But that's just me. Two things. The Brewers, funnest team to watch in probably a decade and a half, as far as Brewers teams at the start of a season. Even in 2018, it was not fun at the beginning of the year because we didn't really know what we had, which is very similar to this year, but they didn't figure it out until like June, you know?
Yeah.
This year, they're like, they started off so hot and they're doing things on offense that we haven't seen done since 2011. It's really fun, Grant.
Well, and it's a lot better to be blown away and to be surprised, pleasantly surprised. It's better to be pleasantly surprised than to have expectations and to be let down. Absolutely.
It's like kind of like watching the Packers at the beginning of last year.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Now, I get about 45 seconds. I got to get my last break. And anything else you want to say, Darnell? Sorry to make you wait.
Yep, nope. Just Bucks. This is shaping up to be one of two ways. Number one, it's 2021, and Giannis goes down and the rest of the team picks him up and they win the finals. The other one is 2023 where Giannis goes down, the team folds and they lose in the first round.
Let's hope it's the former, Darnell. I still have high hopes. I think they could go all the way. I think they could get bounced in the first round in a really ugly fashion, too. I guess we'll wait and see. Appreciate you waiting. Sorry to rush you here, Darnell. We'll talk soon again, I'm sure.
Oh, good. Have a good one, Grant.
Darnell the chump in Madison. Let's continue the Wisco Sports Show. We'll wrap it up. Wrap up Neil Diamond Week. Turn things over to Temple and Heilprin. Zach and Jesse standing by. They'll get started at 6 o'clock. We'll wrap up the Wisco Sports Show next.
This is the Wisco Sports Show with Grant Bills on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network.
Wisco Sports Show. Last couple of minutes, we're wrapping things up. I am off tomorrow via best of. So there will be technically no Friday show. Therefore, no one can miss a Friday show, myself included. So we're all off the hook tomorrow. A little bit of a bummer to short Neil Diamond Week by a day, but that's fine. I think we made the most of it. So Ebo will be filling in on Bill's show tomorrow. You get a best of, a Brewer-themed best of tomorrow night. Brewers Orioles, I think, will eat into at least the last half hour, last 45 minutes of the show, something like that, because East Coast, I think they'll start at 6:10, which means this show tomorrow night will be done at 5:35 anyways. But we appreciate Mike Clemens. We appreciate Andrew Wagner. Well, did a very good job. Brewers, Packers, Mike's just being the groupie on the tailgate tour this week, following the Packers all over the state from Beloit. I remember last year they had stops both in La Crosse and in Onalaska, which is kind of funny. Although I guess if you go all the way from Green Bay to the western portion of the state, you might as well stop in both. Drove all that way, you might as well make it worth it. No Bucks tonight, no Brewers tonight. We can all relax. I will be back on Monday to catch up on everything that we missed. Temple and Heilprin, Zach and Jesse, live at Monks and Sun Prairie. They'll talk Badgers and get us up to date with what's been going on at spring ball. That show's coming up next. I'll talk to y'all on Monday.